Well, happy Mother's Day to you moms. We honor you. It's good to be back with you from the Holy Land. We had a great time. You literally walk in the steps of Jesus and the scripture comes alive. So if you have not been, you need to make that part of something you plan on in the future. People have been asking me, are you gonna share the trip? So we will, but we'll let you know when that's going to be. I have a reunion with the team that went this Saturday, and we'll talk about when that day will come. Well, today I wrap up our sermon series in the book of Isaiah, and we'll start the book of Acts next week. So here's the passage from Isaiah chapter 49, verses 13 through 16a. Shout for joy, O heavens! Rejoice, O earth! Burst into song, O mountains, for the Lord comforts his people, and he will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child that she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Have you ever felt forgotten or abandoned by the Lord? Maybe you went through a difficult time. Maybe you struggled with an illness for a long time. Maybe the illness was painful and it severely hampered your lifestyle. Maybe someone dear to you passed away and you can't get your head around the thought that God would allow this. And the pain just continues and you feel like God has abandoned you. Or maybe there was a time when you sinned against the Lord and you thought, God can't forgive me for this. I deserve to be abandoned and forgotten. These questions and doubts are not anything new for the people of God. The audience that Isaiah was written to experienced these same kinds of doubts and questions. Now, to understand their doubts, we have to remember their situation. They were living in Judah and Jerusalem, but they were taken captive to Babylon. But while in Babylon, this prophecy comes to them, and the prophecy says, your sins have been forgiven. You're going to return home. I'm going to restore your fortunes. And our passage in Isaiah chapter 14 responds to that prophetic word with words of praise. Shout for joy, O heaven! Rejoice, O earth! Burst into song, O mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. Good news, right? But if you were in exile in Babylon, you probably did not feel like worshiping the Lord. Yes, you had just heard the promises of God to forgive and to restore, to bring you back home, to bring your life to a good end. But here you are, still living in a foreign land, having to live with a foreign language in a place that is not home and a life that is difficult. So even though you have heard the words of the prophet, that someday in the future, God will turn everything into good. Hope is not what you feel. Here is their response instead. The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Have you ever been in that place? Where you know the promises of God, but you still feel forgotten and abandoned? Now that word translated forsake means to physically leave. It implies that the Lord has withdrawn his presence, that he's no longer with you, that he's just left you to your own devices. And the word translated forgotten is more than, I forgot it's Mother's Day. It means to write someone off emotionally. It's like, forget them. You want nothing to do with them anymore. The people felt abandoned and forgotten. And they had their reasons for feeling this way. Some thought, we have sinned against the Lord. We sinned greatly, and here we are in Babylon for our sins. And the Lord has judged us, and perhaps he's just forgotten us and wants nothing to do with us. Others might have been angry. That's kind of the question in Habakkuk, where the prophet complains about the evils of their culture and their society, and he says, God, what are you going to do something about? And God says, I am. I'm going to send the Babylonians to bring judgment upon you. And the response is, them? They're worse than us. And so there's people in Babylon thinking, here we are in Babylon, and they're worse than we ever were. And they're angry at God. And then there are some who had walked away from God years ago and abandoned him. And so it follows, well, if I've walked away from him, it makes sense that he would walk away from me. Despite hearing the promises of God, the circumstances the people found themselves in made them feel hopeless and forgotten. And God responds by posing to them a question. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast? Now, you moms can answer this question better than anyone. Can she? While you are nursing the baby, can you forget about him or her? I mean, while you're nursing the baby, it's like, oh, how beautiful, baby. I love the baby. And when you're not nursing him or her, you're thinking, okay, when is the next feeding? Or you're thinking, you're listening for their cry. And no, a nursing mom doesn't forget her baby. And even after the child is too old to nurse and grows up, might even be a teenager or an adult, mom doesn't forget her baby, right? Mom remembers. Mom keeps on loving, and that explains some of the things she does that you don't like. Like, she gives you advice even though you don't ask for it, right? It's because she cares about you and she's trying to pass on wisdom. Or she gets upset if you don't call. You know, mom never forgets about you, so, you know, she's thinking, how can you forget about me? Does mom ever ride your case about doing well in school? It's because she wants you to do well in school so you can get into a good college, and after college you can get a good job and can provide well for yourself. And because she cares about your well-being, whether it's in this life or the next, she talks to you about faith, even when you don't want her to. Moms don't forget. Moms keep on loving, especially if her child happens to be a baby nursing at her breast. And so God asks, can a mother forget her baby? And the answer is no. Though it remotely might be possible, but God says, even if a mother can forget her nursing baby, I will never forget you. John Calvin writes of this passage, herein we see the unrelenting love of God and the unceasing care he has over our salvation. More than a mother, God loves us. More than a mother, he can see us through to the day of our full redemption. The cross shows us that he loves us. And our faith in him is proof that he has chosen us for love. Because no one has faith unless God has first chosen them for love. Now, to drive home the point that God does not forget his own, God says, I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. Now, that word means to cut into, and the imagery here is of God cutting his name into your hands. It's like carving your initials into a tree. You know, Lewis and Clark went to Yellowstone, you know, in 1804, 1806. Their names are still carved in a tree there. And so this is driving home the point. God's not going to forget you. Your names are carved in his hands. So even when we sin, and we feel like God can't forgive us, when we can't shake the sinful habit and we feel like maybe God's abandoned us, God says, I cannot forget you. He can't write us off. He keeps on calling us to return and be restored. Even when we suffer and it seems like our illness will never go away or may even take our life, even when it seems like the chemotherapy will never end, even we feel like God should abandon us because of our wretched lives, he doesn't. He can't forget us. He can't write us off. He keeps on calling us to return and be restored. And even when we suffer and we feel like the illness may take our life, even when we plead for the life of a loved one with tears and anguish, God does not forget us. God sees. God knows. God hears. God understands. God does not forget. God understands, and all his promises will come true. And even if we walk away and do our own thing, forget about God, he doesn't forget about us. God's love is more relenting for us than the love of a mother. The love of a mother who is still nursing and loving on her baby. And it's this kind of love that always seeks to embrace us and to welcome us back into his heart. Heard of a woman who lived with her son in Scotland. One day they were visited by their fire and brimstone preacher. While the preacher was sitting in the living room, the little boy was in the living room with the preacher, and the mom was making tea. The preacher, with the lad standing there, sitting there, said, "You see that fire there, lad? That fire is like the consuming anger of God that will destroy every sinner." And the little boy is just trembling because he knows that he's a sinner. When the preacher leaves, the boy's still standing there staring at the fire with wide eyes. And the mom says, "What you staring at, lad?" And he said, "Mom, is it true that God hates sin? That he'll destroy the sinner?" His mom says, "It is true. God hates sin, but he does not destroy his own. He loves them like their own mother. He loves them like their own mother." God loves you like your own mother. After all, he's engraved you in the palms of his hands. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you love us, that will not let us go. That it's a love that pursues, and a love that keeps, and a love that longs, and a love that treasures. And we thank you, Lord, that we are beneficiaries of this love, and I pray, Lord, that you would cause us to know how high and wide and deep is the love of God for us. I pray for those who feel forgotten and alone and abandoned and are struggling this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would visit them with your presence and your peace, that you would give them strength for the trial at hand, that you would hear them as they call out to you, and that you would answer them with your grace. And Lord, if we've been away, we draw near, knowing that we are always welcomed into your arms. And so we come. In Jesus' name, amen.